Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah. All right, well, Steve...
It's at the Superdome, and that's good.
Right. Steve Court joins us now. Dave, did you know Steve Court was the only Arkansas Razorback player in football history to bench press? You ready for this?
I'm ready.
585 pounds.
Steve, you benched 585?
Yeah.
What the?
Do you realize how much weight that is?
That's like three grown men.
Yes, Steve says yes. Of course he realizes it. He was the guy picking it up.
How did any defensive player get by you? You could just kind of like, you know, like
pick him up, throw
him
away.
Out of the way like a fly.
Well, it's not. If that was the case, then all the big strength athletes in the world would be National Football League players making lots of money, right?
But you know what? You make a good point. Speed, there have been a lot of weightlifters that are not football players. There have been a lot of athletes that are strong that are not football players. That is a different thing. So,
yeah,
Steve...
look like Tarzan, play like Jane.
Exactly. Real quick, before we get on the Saints, Arkansas, that program's not in good shape at all. Does that hurt you or not?
What a nice way to say that.
Yeah.
What a nice way to say.
Well, what do you think they got to do to turn that thing around?
No, they've got to burn that thing completely down. Mm-hmm. They have to come in. They've got to scrap everything they've done, and we got to go after a notoriety, a coach that's a proven winner,
name brand,
a big time name. Yeah, absolutely. Look, Arkansas is one of those schools that can generate $1 billion with two phone calls. Okay, there's no reason why they should be in the position they're at. And look, that's I can tell you first and foremost, I was just up there a few weeks ago and you talk about a great town and a great school and it's just sad because it used to be such a prominent program, that was really respected throughout college football for years and decades. And now it's in the tank, but, look, they'll get back. There's times that this happens to everybody. You know, there's all kinds of things in programs that have gone in this same direction before, and now they're back. So, that'll happen with Arkansas. It'll come back.
How long do you think it'll take to turn something like that? Not just in Arkansas's case, but once a college program just gets beaten to the ground, and like you said, you got to burn everything down and start all over. In terms of recruiting and everything else, how long does it take generally to turn something like that around?
Well, you know, in some instances, depending upon who you get, they can, you get a big name guy like somebody like Mike Leach or Urban Meyer, somebody like that. That can change things around, you know, within a couple of seasons. But at the same time, if you want longevity is what you're kind of looking for here and consistency, that's going to take a good 4 or 5 years to do that.
Did you hear anything about Urban Meyer? Did you just spit that out?
I just spit that out.
All right. I'm just wondering, because you were in Arkansas not too long ago. Now you say Urban Meyer. We can get some good rumors.
Don't be connected to dots like that. I'm not that important.
Well, I don't know about all that. The penalties are important, and your take on that yesterday. Do you think, obviously, I mean, what, 112 yards? I think 126 yards, that's a touchdown, right? You can figure that.
Yeah.
But are the Saints a lot to blame for that? Your take on the officials, and man, I'm going to tell you what, it seems hard to believe to me when you look at the penalties, the types of penalties that they were enforcing them equally on both sides.
Well, I'll tell you this, first and foremost, I just want them to get it right. If it's a penalty that's legit against the Saints, hey, that's a penalty. And I call it that. I don't have any problem at all with a legit penalty that we had an infraction with and did it. I got no problem with that. My problem is when these things happened, and I'm speaking to the two pass interference calls now. Mm-hmm. You see the visual and you say, I don't understand where he's coming from. I can't understand that. And then you know that they see it because it's being reviewed. And they still come out with the same answer. And I don't understand that. And that's the part that I have, and I think probably most people have a problem with, is, okay, you've seen the visual of it, and it isn't what you said it was, now why do you refuse to take it back? And I don't understand that part of it. I have a hard time with that.
And then a challenge at the end for the Panthers. There was no interference called. And then they said there should have been a penalty. I'll go to my grave believing that was Al Riveron's way of getting the Saints back for starting all this in the first place. You think I'm making that up?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I would hate to think that, but look, I feel the same way. I'm thinking, what is this sort of? Sean Payton. This is what we think of your rule change.
And kind of like you wanted it. Yeah. You wanted it. Here you go. You got it.
And I'm not sure that. I don't know why they would have that kind of vitriol against that, because that everybody just wants it to be right. I don't understand why there would be any discrepancy on that. But again, I don't know everything.
Do you think it was interference?
No, I don't.
I don't either. You're
right.
You played football at the professional level. I'm just a guy that watches TV. And if we both know that, I don't know how they can't in New York. Take a quick break. Come back with Steve Court, former Saints offensive lineman. Co-host of Fans First Take. I want to talk to him about that left side of the line. And this guy, Amame, that played wearing number 60. If you could put that number on your back as a Saint, you better be able to bring it. Tommy Tucker back in a Flash 917 at WWL. 921 now. We got LSU tickets coming up for you. They're going to play A&M this weekend. You got to pick the tickets up either today, tomorrow, or Wednesday, and please make sure that you can use them. And if not, then let somebody else win. But you're going to hear Survivor, Eye of the Tiger. When you do, I'll give you the number to call in and win. Compliments of LSU Sports Properties. So, Steve Court, I think everybody knows who you are. Former Saints offensive lineman, co-host of Fans First Take, Amame. Steps in yesterday, number 60. Again, if you're going to wear number 60, you got to be a stud, correct?
You better be.
That was Steve Court's number. And also Max Unger's number.
Yeah.
So that's a hallowed number.
Well,
those are hallowed digits. What?
Okay, yeah, they may be hallowed.
Hallowed numerals. But seriously,
let me just tell you this. Yeah. Patrick Amame, I didn't get a chance to coach, see him when I was there, helping coach in the mini camps and things like that. But I can tell you this: they're not going to put anybody out there that's not prepared. And look, when he came in, he's a guard.
Oh, really?
And they slid him over. Yeah, and they slid him over and made him play left to tackle, which is a challenge in and of itself. Much to say that, the guy's been a guard, and now all of a sudden they put him in a tackle spot, and you think, it can't be that much different than offensive line. No, it's a lot different. And I can tell you that the fact that you have to play and adjust to the space aspect of the distance and the different types of angles in the pass that you have to take at tackle spot as opposed to being in the interior offensive line is vastly different. So, look, he came in there for what I thought did a really good job. I guess he gave up one sack, but look at that.
Exactly.
There's 10 other guys on the team that play. I'm not going to blame that whole thing on him, but at the same time, my hat's off to this guy.
He was shaking his head after he gave it up. I know the exact play you're talking about. Yeah. And while he's new, Steve, to us, he's not new to the NFL.
No, he's been around. He's a 7-year guy. And I knew that when he came in there, that there was going to be a situation where I said, okay, well, this guy's seen a lot of football. He's not like his. A young kid, a rookie being thrown in there, and all of a sudden he's got this emotional thing going on where he's scared to death and he's, there's a million things spinning around his brain. No, he's thinking, okay, I got to get, change my stance here. I've got to I know the plays. I know what's going on here. So I need to kind of make sure that I sort of now focus in on left tackle play rather than left guard play or right guard play. And there lies the problem. You think that that's simple, but it's not. Look, I think he did an absolute great job coming in off the bench like that. And I don't know what the significance of Teron's injury is. I don't know how long he's going to be out. Look, I know this is a short week, so I don't know if he's going to be able to make it back. Like I said, I don't know what the status is of his injury, but I know it's an ankle, but I don't know what severity it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when it comes to Andres Pete, he's got a broken arm, but not the kind of broken arm. This sounds terrible to say this, but you guys have played with broken arms before. You may have, did you?
No, I played with broken hands before.
Broken hands, yeah. But so,
broken arm.
How tough is that? And I don't know what kind of injury it is. Do you have any idea when we get Andrews Pete back? And like you're saying, Teron Armstead, we don't know about. And I guess I'm just looking forward, Steve. Will we be all right on that left side if it's those two guys, Easton, who we have not mentioned, and Amame?
Look, that's what we do. And, you know, there's an old adage for against offensive linemen, it's the more you can do. So those guys have been in there. Now, Easton's coming along. He's doing fine. There's no problem there. Usually when you don't hear anything, everything's going okay. So you don't really hear too much, and that's good. And look, those two guys right now, yesterday I thought played a great job for being in the positions they're at. But again, that's just hats off to Roshar and Nugent, his assistant there. Those guys do a great job. I mean, a great job of coaching offensive line, which is really, I mean, look, Tommy, that's where the games are won and lost.
You got that right.
And this guy, you don't even hear from Dan Roshar. I mean, he doesn't speak much. He doesn't do a lot of interviews, none of that stuff. But he is really, really one of the better offensive line coaches. He really knows what he's doing out there, and he prepares these guys well enough to know of what they've got to do, and does a great job of it each and every week.
I don't care if you get the ball, kick the ball. If you want to get an idea how the game's going to go, you agree with me, Steve? Watch those first plays with line versus line. That's what I do.
Well, yeah, and you'll be able to tell pretty quickly. And now, look, that's not the case all the time, because a lot of times, you know,
you make adjustments.
Games start one way or the other, yeah. And then, yeah, you start getting the swing of things and kind of getting the mood of what's happening out there, and then you know you begin to change things. But by and large, that game is won and lost, entirely. Look, big players, you know, on the outsides, and then the quarterback positions and the skilled, I hate that word, but players, they got to do their part too, but nothing happens unless things get started with the line of scrimmage on both sides.
All right, two things. Let me get under your helmet here. You lose to the Falcons earlier, a game that you didn't expect to lose at all, coming off after the bye week. You're facing them again. So what's going on in your head as a player? And then you're coming off of a game yesterday, and you got a very short week leading into Thursday. What's the whole thought process there? Combine the two separate thoughts, what?
No, what they'll do is they'll go in today and really kind of go over yesterday's game tape real quick and make the adjustments they need to do, and then they'll quickly drop that, and they'll quickly move into Atlanta mode. And as far as like practice and things like that, mm-hmm. I would be just very, very surprised if they even have helmets on this week.
Oh, really?
This will be something where they'll go in there, they'll get their running, they'll get their stretch, they'll get their lift, and then they will. Everything is going to be a walkthrough. This is all going to be a cerebral week, and then making sure you take care of your body to get ready for Thursday night. Yeah, there's not too much live stuff going on. And if there is, it will be extremely minimal. So, they know it. Sean knows exactly what he's doing on this case, but that's the only way you can do this. And because we played them just a few weeks ago, it's going to be fresh in everybody's mind. It's going to be kind of like, okay, I remember this again. And then they'll make the adjustments of what Atlanta did last time that we didn't see or maybe weren't prepared for, or maybe a new wrinkle they gave us, and we'll make adjustments from there.
This pops into my mind while I'm thinking about the bye week at Atlanta. Would you rather have a bye week or a short week? And I know there's so many variables here in terms of who's hurt, who's not, are you on a roll or you're not on a roll. But with Atlanta coming after the bye week and after the short week, as a player, did you have one preference over the other?
Well, I'll tell you this, that the short week thing, especially if you're coming off a physical game like it just was yesterday, that's especially this time of year,
mm-hmm.
That's arduous. I'll say this. I'll say that if you're going to take a week off, you take a week off. I mean, I think everybody is, you're much more reticent to do that than you would be to say, okay, well, I'd rather have a short week here, because then we get an extra, a couple of days right. In the following week, to get ready. That's all good and fine, but, you've got to survive this week, this first 4 days of this week, before you can even begin to think of that.
Those bruises don't even have a chance to lighten up, huh? They're not going to go away, but at least maybe they'll lighten up a little bit. Did you see the 49ers game last night?
I did.
What's your take on them?
Ooh, let me tell you, that's they're playing really, really well on both sides of the football. They're running the football well, and at the same time, their defense is suffocating people at this point. So it's they're playing winning football. There's no question. I don't have anything to take away from the 49ers. I mean, it's going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if they flex that game, Tommy, from a noon to a 3 o'clock kickoff, or you know, sometime in the afternoon like that, to make it the. That's the two juggernauts of the NFC kind of going at it. I guess that week, 13, I guess what it is. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. But nonetheless, we've got them here, and at the same time, we know it's going to be on the line.
Was it my imagination, does that defensive line for the 49ers appear leaner, faster, quicker, because those are two different things, stronger, et cetera? It just seems like I don't see any guys that are kind of big wide bodies out there. They're big people, but you understand what I'm saying? I don't see any big waistlines.
No, there's really no – there's not too much room for that anymore. This game is so fast and it played at such a high level that – you know, you pretty much have to have usable tissue on your body if you're going to be. So those are 4 or 5 first round draft choices that they have there, and they've built that over the years, and that's just a testament. They know what's important, and that that defensive line is paying dividends now.
They are extremely quick
and strong and physical, and they can make your life miserable. Yeah. Absolutely, they're all those things. Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. Anything else you want to add before we let you go?
No. Have a nice day.
Usable tissue. Is that what you said?
I did.
I like that phrase, usable tissue. Thank you. Have a good week, man. Had to tell you, happy Thanksgiving when we talk to you Wednesday. Hey, listen to this. That would be Survivor and Eye of the Tiger. Now, here's the deal. If you want to win tickets to see LSU take on and beat A&M in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night, you can be caller 8 right now at 260-WINS or 260-9467. Caller 8 is going to win with WWL. However, please do not get these tickets if you can't pick them up Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, because those are the holiday week office hours. Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, you got to pick them up. So if you can't pick them up, don't win them. Please don't try. Let somebody get them that'll use them. And, of course, you got to be able to use them Saturday night when they play A&M. Good luck, Tommy Tucker. Back in a flash, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.